Welcome to the season two of the Smart and Sustainable City podcast. So today we talk about safe cities. The backbone of a smart city lies in its smart use of technology to develop its ability to understand what is going on in real time and respond to events and incidents in the most effective way. CCTVs and cameras are some of these technologies. Chicago has over 32,000 of them, Washington 17,000, and Atlanta 11,000. While technology is not an end by itself, it is certainly a means to an end. Initially used for basic life security surveillance, digital cameras enable today a number of new use cases. They are used by many public and private organizations for crime prevention and investigation. In context, they serve as the undeniable proof of what happened, when, and who was involved. They help monitor and safeguard city events such as demonstrations. Emergency services use them to monitor events as they unfold. Shops and stores use them as well as commercial and industrial sites. They prevent accidents by helping to monitor traffic. And when there is an accident, they are used to help coordinate rescue efforts. Courts use them for digital evidence and digital forensics. In New Orleans, the National World War II Museum, which hosts 700,000 visitors every year, uses 225 cameras to help secure the premise. And these are essential to relay to first responders if an event happens. Colleges and universities use them, such as the University of Georgia, which has to secure its premises and the life of its 36,000 students. They are used at airports that have miles and miles of property to secure. They are used in ports, such as the Port of Freeport on the Gulf Coast in Texas, to identify small crafts or other traffic anomalies. The city of Chicago has an integrated system, the Chicago Strategic Decision Support Center, or SDSC. Here, connected cameras have helped the city reduce crime in 2019 by 24%. Shootings were reduced by 70% and homicides by 43%. Along with the proliferation of digital cameras, their definition has increased exponentially. That is a lot of data captured at any instant, which must be correlated and understood. From a technology standpoint, that is a lot of network traffic requirements for real-time insights. Each camera is part of a much larger system. Edge systems, these are computers deployed close to them, connected to a cloud infrastructure. The images are secured at the edge before being transmitted real-time over the network to the cloud and to a central operational point. The central operator must coordinate the response on the basis of the video situational analysis received from the system. The video information must then be stored in the cloud for possible future video situational forensics. At the heart of such a system is software. Our guest today is Bob Carter. Bob works at Genetec. Genetec is a leader in software for IP video surveillance, access control, and other security systems, most notably security centers. We talk with Bob about some of these use cases. Bob shares some learnings and recommendations he's gathered over the years from the smart cities he's engaged with.
I'm Bob Carter. I am the commercial head of our Justice and Public Safety and Smart Cities group at Genetec, responsible for the United States.
Great. And where are you located, Bob?
I am connecting to you today from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm actually, if you ever travel to Atlanta, everyone in Atlanta is from somewhere else, but I am a native, born and raised right here in Georgia, right here in the metro area. And I've pretty much spent most of my life here.
Atlanta is a pretty large city, huh?
Yeah, it's, you know, the Olympics were here back in 1996. You know, we got a football team, baseball team, professional basketball team. It's lots of great restaurants, and it's, I don't know, I think it's 7 or 8 million if you count the metropolitan area.
Let's talk about the company you work with or you work for, Genetec. What do you guys do?
Well, so we're a software company, and we've grown out of the security industry. In fact, we've started as if you go way back when you used to buy an IP camera, an IP camera came with its own set of software, and you kind of that's what you did. And we came along well before I was here, but we came along and created an open platform so you can choose whatever IP camera you wanted. And we would make that interaction with that camera better and created an open architecture platform that you can grow and expand upon. It became enterprise class. And so, fast forward, we developed a lot of government and municipal customers who would utilize that software platform as the basis of their, you may know as the term real-time crime center, or they may just use it to protect their areas like parks or convention center, entertainment district. And so here at Genetec, what I'm doing with them is we're working with that select group of customers, that market vertical, to help them along their digital transformation. Because things are changing, it's changing rapidly. And we are going through that transformation with them to determine how to use these tools better, to make better decisions, and to move forward in the future. So that's Genetec. We're an innovative software company, and that's the area that I'm focused on. But we do much more than that if you look at it as a whole.
Cities are increasing rapidly the deployment of digital cameras. I was looking up Atlanta, 11,000 cameras deployed. Are you seeing the same thing, an increase in deployment of digital cameras?
I am, and I'm also seeing a shift in how you look at that. Atlanta is, again, is my home. I've been involved with that cities in many different ways, but that is on the Genetec platform. In the beginning, and it's really it would be kind of a good case study in how you look at things and how things are changing. In the beginning of the evolution of their real-time crime center, they recognized there's value in having surveillance cameras, and the goal was to get to 10,000. Obviously they have exceeded that, but the goal was to grow to 10,000 cameras. But as that grew, the goal started to shift from let's have as many sensors as we can to let's create as many collaborative relationships with stakeholders in the metro Atlanta area or in the downtown area, et cetera. And so then they began to reach out to the stadiums, to the schools. And I say they, I mean the government, the city government, especially the police department. They recognize that it's very hard to install a large number of cameras and support them because it becomes very costly. And so the better route is to take advantage of other people's resources. And so that began to take place. And then about midway through that, the philosophy started changing towards how do we take this video, which is a data source, and match that up with other types of data so that we can make better decisions, have better awareness of what's happening around us. And that's the transformation that they're going through now. So that what I just described probably took place over a 5-year period, but you can see how the thought process is shifting away from building those networks to building collaboration, to matching it up with other sources of information to make sense of it all.
And I presume all the cameras also got better in terms of definition over the years.
Oh, for sure. And not only the definition, I mean, the ability to process information at the edge, so to speak. In the beginning, everything was streamed, sent back to another system, a server or another area of computation, where then that video content was analyzed with but basically performing analytics back at the server. And now there's a wide range of analysis, video analytics that can take place on the edge. So that's really changing things. When you combine that with the Internet of Things, meaning now it's getting more and more so the individual device is managed from the cloud, so you install it and walk away from it. rather than manage it, because it's being taken care of on its own. It's adjusting. It's starting to tell you when something is relevant to look at. As those types of things continue to grow, the coverage area is becoming dramatically larger. The quality of the information is becoming much, much better. But now you really need to spend more time investing in how to make sense of this, all this avalanche of information, so you're not overrun by it. And so that now you need to operate more efficiently. So, you know, I'm going a lot further than your question, but it's interesting as the quality of the video increases. Along with that, the number of video sources is also rapidly increasing.
That's fascinating. And you were mentioning an avalanche of data.
Well, yes, there's a ton of information coming from body-worn cameras, from every location, whether it be the home or the business or the city center. There's some source of video. So you have all this information that's coming at an investigator, for example. If you're in that line of work, you have to hunt all this information down. You have to figure out what to do with the information. Each bit of the information, when it comes to video, has its own way of playing that back to you, so you can go through it and find the details you're looking for. So, and then gathering that information quite often is means you have to go out and pick up a disk. You have to send someone a Dropbox. You have to get a thumb drive. You have to get the player that works with that. And then you also, a lot of times, have to hunt down the individual who knows how to operate those systems. So that's just taking the video side of this. There's so many other forms of information out there, whether it be social media or websites or podcasts or you name it. There's just tons and tons of information. And then there's all the reports and documents and everything else. So, you know, it lends itself towards a long-term strategy for how to handle digital media. And if we talk about it from a public safety police department perspective, that's how do you handle digital evidence.
I was looking at one of the success stories that you quote on your website, the Chicago Police Department, where a gentleman there was saying cities are increasingly becoming data rich and information poor. And the solution that they adopted with Gentech allowed them to make sense of all that information or data into information.
Yeah, that's Jonathan Lewin from Chicago, a great guy, an innovator. Now, he and another gentleman, Sean Malinowski, did a really good job of conceiving this idea of the Strategic Decision Support Center. And it was all about how do we make or enable our officers to make better decisions, both in the field and also at what we refer to as a real-time crime center, which essentially evolved into a Strategic Decision Support Center. I love what that philosophy was. And that was kind of the birthplace of, really is the birthplace of our CityGraph solution. But it was where our shift from sensors for these public safety operations into sense making of data. But I mean, there's a couple of things that would be interesting to point out about that is that technology plays a big role, but it's not the highest role. It's not the most important role in that solution. What that whole concept did was it created an environment where for thinking and analysis, it fostered collaboration and then improvement. And those things would happen on a daily basis. Technology played a role in it, making that each step of that more efficient. But really, it was the idea of we are going to put an analyst, a system operator, together with the command staff, and they're going to review the details, make adjustments, implement those adjustments, and then meet again the next day. And they would do that on a continuous basis. And that cycle improved response time by 30%. And that's an amazing number. And that's when we said, hey, this is something that we can take to other cities around the country. And this could be the focal point of a smart policing initiative. And it's been evolving ever since.
I love how you talk about the fact that it's not just technology, but it's about human collaboration and the outcome that you're able to work on with your clients in terms of, in this case, crime reduction. They were pointing out to a 70% in reduction in shootings and 43% reduction in homicides. How much do you think the video solutions are an element in that crime reduction?
That's a great question. And it's one that I bring up a lot of times when I'm talking to departments who were wanting to create the same thing. So some of the larger cities in the United States in particular, a few of them are advanced in their deployment of video technology, and they may have access to tens of thousands of, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 of these devices. But even those cities, the majority of their incidents are not all captured on those devices. And so you start to think through this thing, and that video is going to play a role, no doubt about it. It's going to grow and grow because the way video is accessed, the number of individuals and entities that can deploy video that can be accessed, and the quality of that information is growing very rapidly. So I think there will come a state in the future where it plays a much bigger role on a wider majority of incidents, or a greater majority of incidents. But today, the vast majority of police incidents are not captured on video. So then how do you make improvements? And you focus more on the data, on the process, and improving efficiency and understanding. And then as video comes along, it's going to even change that and accelerate that and make that even better, because you have more information that you would not have otherwise. But as departments set up to build a real-time innovation center, a strategic decision support center, or whatever the name or the acronym has to be, it's really about how do we operate more efficiently in a more informed manner to make better decisions. And the focusing that effort on video to begin with is a little bit of a misnomer, is a misstep, because it won't have as a profound effect or impact upon your department operation as the other data sources will. I will catch that with it will. I think it will eventually, but not in the beginning.
So, Bob, video analytics and behavior analytics based on video improve potentially a city safety, but there are many other applications in a city that can be extracted from video intelligence, so situational intelligence, such as when events or large events happen. It could be in a stadium or in the streets. Do you have examples or use cases of how video is used in different environments in a city?
Yeah, well, it's interesting to see where, right now in this pandemic, you can use video to detect when there are large crowds. You can use video to detect the number of individuals that are within a structure. Are you exceeding the capacity based upon what the regulations are? How many individuals per square foot can be in a building? You can measure the ridership. Outside of what's happening in the pandemic, we have been investing in integrations to smart nodes and smart lighting networks, because what we're seeing is video, in of itself certainly is going to provide a record of what is going on, and if you're conducting an investigation, it's very valuable. But the video sensor itself can also tell you many other things. It can help you improve the safety at an intersection, how an intersection is laid out, how you're directing traffic and pedestrians through that area, which is commonly known as Vision Zero. It can tell you, and we're seeing this request come more and more, is what is my availability of parking? How am I managing my parking spaces, my street side spaces? How am I handling access to my curb? With I have delivery vehicles, I have scooters, I have rideshare, I have all these things that are vying for my curb. How do I manage that? And how do I keep flow moving through my city so things don't stack up? So, I mean, the video, there's so much more that can be done, is being done. And I think the key to all this is making that process much more simple to implement and having it fit into some sort of long-term plan.
Many cities around the world have decision makers operate in silos. Do you find that being the case in certain cities in the US? And does your system enable a collaboration among different departments that might have different agendas, but a common purpose, which is public safety and public well-being?
Part of creating a smart city, and maybe one of the most important parts, is breaking down silos of communication and putting people in positions to collaborate together. I understand how that's been challenging historically because you're fighting over budgets, and and it's harder to get things done when you bring more people into the equation. But what I think some of the best outcomes of the smart city movement has been the ability to collaborate better and the willingness to bring people together to discuss challenges and to put them in a position to work together. So that from a software perspective, we think that's probably the highest priority is to break down silos and have different things work together, whether it be public safety and traffic, or public safety and with one agency to another, or public and private.
In your dealings with cities around the US, what do you see being the biggest problem to solve that video and Gintec can help address?
For me, it's addressing inefficiencies in law enforcement agencies and public safety, and helping them to move forward into on that path of digital transformation. Lots and lots of those processes are still very manual. They're still handled in a spreadsheet, in some cases even written out with pen and paper. And so just breaking down the silos of data information, bringing that information into an environment, a warehouse, a lake, so to speak, where it's easier to access, easier to mine, easier to share, that's going to make a huge impact upon that operation. So then you'd break it down even further. Where do you start? And often you're starting with crime analysis or digital evidence management. Those are good entry points into that journey towards creating data transformation, which is going to lead towards better operations, which is going to improve the efficiency of that department.
The other big topic in cities, or big challenge, is mobility. And I saw that you have a solution called AutoView that allows to do some plate recognition. How is that improving mobility in cities?
Yeah, that's a real exciting area. I'm glad you asked about that. That's technology continues to improve. That is AutoView is initially at the core a license plate reading camera. It can tell you where it reads, what it reads, identifies letters, give you the date and time, location it read that. That's often used in a parking application, maybe to tell which car has been parked too long, parking management, parking enforcement. And often used in law enforcement to, if they're trying to locate a car or what car was in the area when a crime was committed, so they can do the investigation.
I'm thinking perimeter control as well, airport access or building entrance, or in the IT industry, the data center is such a vulnerable element. So all of that can be monitored by video and select who's got access or not, and track who's got access to particular areas, sensitive areas.
Oh, you're without a doubt. I mean, another area that makes a lot of sense is when you pull into a controlled parking facility. There's usually a gate, and the gate opens up once you pull a ticket. Well, the gate's really there, and the gate's not a physical barrier. I mean, you could drive right. Usually, you lean against them, and they'll fall down. But it's really there to make you stop and grab a ticket, and that process takes time. If you document everyone who goes into there by their license plate with a plate reading camera, you can take down the gate, get rid of the ticket machine, and have free flowing entry into that parking area, and everyone's documented, then they just pay for their time based on their tag from their phone or from a kiosk as they move through the facility.
So we've talked about the use of video and video analysis in smart cities, but why Gentech?
First of all, we have such a wide range of solutions to work with cities in so many different areas that they need to address. Well, in my particular area where we're establishing these data-driven solutions, what we're really doing is helping our customers go on a digital transformation. And so in order to do that, you have to have the flexibility to meet your customer where they are on that journey. And what I mean by that is, you know, we can't force them into the end game. We have to meet them and take incremental steps along the way towards how their operation runs today to what the future state is going to be. Even ourselves in every organization is going through their own digital transformation. And so we have a lot of history with these customers. We have legacy systems, hybrid systems, and we have things that are coming out completely native to the cloud. So we can meet that customer where they're at today, understand their challenges, and go, instead of focusing on a project or a product, we are focusing on engagements with that customer to meet them and join them in that digital transformation journey. And so I think that sets us aside in this industry with some special capabilities to help enact change and be there for the long-term engagement.
And is Gentech just suited for very large cities? We've talked about Atlanta, we talked about Chicago, and you've got many other use cases on your website. But, you know, can a small city also be interested about the solutions that you offer?
Absolutely. The different size cities they consume things differently and they have different size problems. And so in order to address that, we have taken this to market, taken these engagements to markets in ways that can be seen by a wide range of cities. What we learned from the big cities is they actually learned that the problems need to be broken down. And when you start breaking down the problems, by the time you get down to the size you work with, you're basically interacting with things the same level as a small city would. When you add it all back together, it becomes a large city. But when you break it down, each level, you're working with different size organizations. So absolutely, working with small to medium to large cities, they all have different size problems to deal with, but there's a lot of similarities in how you go about doing that.
Bob Carter, thank you very much.
Thank you, Pierre. I enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to the Smart and Sustainable City podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. If you're responsible for a smart city initiative, do reach out. You can reach us at pierre.merles@partner360.net.